The scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I don't have any notes that I'm going to be projecting up, but that's okay. You should be able to follow where I'm going with this. This is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I'll be reading from the New Revised. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. When I took my first systematic theology course, had to do a section on the person of Christ, and I was asked, how does he really speak to me in his humanity? And so I did some real study with the temptation. If you look at the original word to tempt, it's not what we're thinking of tempt, like tempt someone with chocolate, although that's a good one. It is to try or to prove. And what I like so much about that is it goes back, it speaks to the attitude problem that I had when I was a science person at one point, and I was constantly pushed to prove something, which in science is impossible. You can find the how, but the why, that's all him. Okay. Now, in this first temptation, we're looking at stone to bread. Now, if you actually go to the Holy Land, I actually did read a study on the geology of the Holy Land, and where Jesus was, as he's walking along on any given path in this wilderness, the most common rock he's going to come upon is limestone. Limestone is calcium carbonate, for all of you science folks out there, and even if you're not, that's what it's made out of. It's how you get limestone. It's basically the organic remains of sea creatures like mollusks, coral, that sort of thing. And when you're asked to turn limestone, which made the pyramids, into bread, which is mostly made up of sulfur, potassium, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon, and hydrogen, you're looking at a completely different chemical structure. We're not just talking it looks different. You're talking about something that's so completely different that it's impossible. So there's only one way that that's going to become bread. It would have to be spoken into just like the original creation was. Now, there's only one guy that can do that, and that's God, who Jesus is. And I find it very interesting that the devil doesn't do it himself and then offer the bread up. Look at this! Couple of reasons. One, I don't think he can do it. And two, because it's not the point here. The point is that he's trying to get Jesus to prove something. Again, the tempt. Prove that Jesus doesn't need his Father to nourish him, to sustain him, to satisfy him, to comfort him, to provide for him, supply, or give him anything. The Son can work totally on his own. And as an independent agent, he can go wherever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. So, why not just prove that he is who he says he is? It's all good. You get the bread. You prove something to me. And Christ gives him an immediate answer, doesn't even think about it. Says, I live by my Father's word. Now, of course, we know that Satan isn't done with him. Takes him up to the temple roof, tells him to jump. And he says, well, Here's the rationale here, Jesus. You just said you live on the word of God. Okay, prove that. Go ahead and jump. Because it says in the word, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Why don't you prove that the word is true? You said you stand on it. Prove it to be true. Now, back then, in the times that this is taking place, the temple, it's not like coming to church on Sunday. The temple was the epicenter of the city. There are people around that temple coming in and out of it all day long, every day except on the Sabbath. So, who's going to see him jump? The whole city. You want to talk about a demonstration of an awesome power. Satan's really telling him, you realize that so many people are going to see this host of angels coming out of the sky and catching you. You're going to win every one of them. That's the most miraculous sign they've ever seen. Of course they're going to want to listen to you. And besides, aren't you going to prove that Almighty God has the power and willingness to sustain and protect his people? He's going to do it with his own son. He's going to do it for them. Isn't that why you're here? And Christ, once again, answers him without even thinking about it. Challenging God is a sign of unbelief. Is he done? Of course he's not done. Satan now decides he's going to play on that comment. Oh, so you're worried about this people's beliefs.
huh. You know what? I make you a deal. I'll give you not just these people in the city. I'll let you have the entire world. I'll give you all the royalty. You will have absolute rule. I'll give you your world back, all nice and ordered and arranged, just like you like it. I'll give you a people that are going to honor, praise, and worship you from nigh until whenever. I'll give you a people that will obey you, that will adore you, that'll give you what you seek. Just one thing you got to do. Switch allegiance. Just stop this journey of yours and prostrate to me. So, Jesus, you get what you want so long as we do this my way. You realize we could have been a praise band marching to a tune that leads all of us straight to hell? So, Christ's answer, again, without even thinking about it, I prostrate to the Lord my God. Him only do I minister to, render homage to. I belong to him, and these people are mine too, who I call, and they will come. Now, what I think is really cool, it says here that the devil left him. If you turn this from the original Aramaic, it literally means the devil was sent off. You want to hold on to that. You see, the whole point of this was Satan wanted Jesus to avoid the cross. You see, he's got a sense of humor too. If Jesus proves he's an independent agent, he can go wherever he wants, he can do whatever he wants, he can avoid the cross. He doesn't want to go. If he jumps and angels catch him, then these people are going to look at this wonderful, miraculous sign and say, "Whoa, how'd he do that?" And you don't even need the cross. You can just sidestep that whole thing and just talk to him right directly where the power was. You can avoid the cross. I'll give you I'll release my hold on every person as long as you switch allegiance to me, but we're not going to worry about that fine print right at the moment. Just focus on what I just told you. You get everything that you want. Just avoid the cross. Okay. Satan failed with Jesus. Now, could he have taken Satan's offer? Yes. But he chose not to usher in that new covenant with us. Now, since Satan failed to get Jesus to come alongside with him, since Satan failed to sway Jesus to avoid the cross, instead, he tries the same tactic with us. He's telling every one of us to avoid the cross. Not only to avoid Jesus and his cross, but ours. Now you take the same temptations that he gave him. This is going to sound awfully familiar. You
don't need God. Let you take care of you. See, you have immediate needs now, okay? You're going to have to do them on your own steam, because if you wait for God to do it or someone else to do it, you have no idea how long you're going to have to wait. So you might as well just take it upon yourself and just go for it on your own steam. I'm having a battle right now with my own mother on this very idea. I had a talk with her about a Bible study that she started going to, and she said, I just don't understand. There's a woman that's going through a divorce, and she keeps using her prayer life as a testimony to God's faithfulness and this fortitude, and all of her needs are met and she's feeling better and yada, yada, yada. Oh, please. How unreal could you possibly be? You know what? I went through a divorce too, remember? And I tell you what got me through my own steam. That's what got me through. I picked myself up and I carried myself through day by day by day. And you three kids, remember? I said, Mom, you totally, totally don't understand. You didn't have to do any of that difficult, horrible work. All you had to do is lean back, let God catch you, let Him sustain you, let Him raise you up. Rise on His strength, rise with His time. He will do the recreation. He will do the rebuilding. He will do the restoration. You make this all on your own, you're going to be so tired, so weary, so frustrated, so heartbroken, because you're leaving the results also to your own steam. How long is that going to work? How well is that going to work? All the results are your own? Remember, men built the Titanic. Now, so does that sound familiar? It's the same temptation. Just do it on your own steam. Avoid the cross. How about this one? If God's so real, where's the proof? Where's this heavenly protection that is going to prevent every single person on this planet from dying? You know, the Trade Center towers still fell, and a loved one still died of cancer, and on and on and on. I had a talk one time with my son along the same line about proving that God exists. And I said, what if we made this kind of claim? If God's really real, then He's suddenly going to turn this room's house, or this house's room, this particular room that we're sitting in, He's going to suddenly turn the walls purple. And if He doesn't, then He doesn't exist. And Sean said, what's the point of that? I said, right. Right.
You see, we leave the results to him. We leave the providence to providence because he's the king of the universe. You think he can handle any kind of thing that is going on here? Of course he can. We have to recognize his time, his direction, which is always the best, always the right one. And he's the one that does the most work to get it done. How good is that? So all we have to do is pray and obey. Trust him and let him do what he does. So if God's so real, where's the proof? No proof. Avoid the cross. Or this one about Satan offering him the world. I think we see this all the time with the word tolerance in this country. You want to know what the definition of tolerance is? Settling for less. We tolerate religion instead of the relationship. We tolerate man's political correctness for God's standard. We are a people that just decide, I don't want to fight where the flow is going anymore. Just go with it. It's all good. Be okay. And because of our settling for less, there's no prayer in schools. You can't have Christmas carols or nativity sets in front of homes or public concerts. You can't have crosses on the roadsides. You, all because we have settled for less. When you settle for less, that's when you find yourself avoiding the cross. Now, the answer to all of this is really simple. We simply follow what Jesus did. You retort with the word and send him off. See, all necessary. That full humanity was necessary. He obeyed God. He was the perfect representative. And he took on every one of our offenses. He took the judgment and ushered in the only way that we can have that justification. And it is in him, in that life, that we can get this. Because he stretched out like this. Thank you, Jesus, for being that substitute for us. Thank you for being the example on how to live this life while we are still here, while you are tarrying, you have told us to retort with the word and send the devil packing. And he has to go because you hold all the power. You are the only one that's worthy, and he will flee. And we claim this truth today. You are the Word. You are our Lord. You are our God. You are eternal. You are the Savior. You are supreme. You are Master. And you are also our Messiah, the Christ and the Lord of Lords. And it is through you that we stand with you. And we know that you have called us to be a representative to this world on how to send the devil packing. And we claim that truth. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.